Tonight we're looking at the parable of the barren fig tree in Luke chapter number 13. So we're continuing our series. Lord willing, we'll be done by the end of the year looking at the parables of Christ. We'll learn some things, no doubt, this evening. So Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. And look with me there in your Bibles as I read. Verse 6 says, "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for these parables, these illustrations and stories, Lord, that you created for us to understand more about you. Lord, they are mysteries to those who are not saved. But to us who are your children, we can understand them because you have revealed your word to us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within. We pray that he would be our teacher this evening. Lord, lead us into truth, we pray, so that our lives would glorify thee in the day in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Quite a simple illustration, a simple story the Lord gives here, but a profound one once again. And appropriate that we have come to this parable now. Do you remember Sunday nights? Brother Huey has been declaring for a while who the fig tree represents. Now, who remembers what the fig tree represents? Is it Christians? Is it unsaved people? That's right, the Jews, the nation of Israel. So as we approach this parable, please keep in mind that this parable is about the Jews. It is about the nation of Israel. That's what the fig tree symbolizes and represents. But of course, remember, a parable is a fictitious story cast alongside. That's what the word parable means. The story cast alongside a spiritual nugget of truth to help us to understand more about God. So we can take some lessons from this parable as well for our Christian lives. But remember, the nation of Israel is in focus right here. As he speaks to the nation of Israel, the Lord teaches this parable to warn them. He teaches them about how he works. This is how the Lord works, he's saying. This is what I expect, the Lord is saying, and this is what I will do. It is a warning. But also an admonition from the Lord. So let's learn some lessons tonight about bearing fruit for the Lord. Roman numeral number one, your first blank is the word planting. And we're going to learn something about the planting of God. Notice in verse 6, this certain man, which we understand represents the Lord, had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. So the fig tree represents the nation of Israel, and we understand from looking at different verses in the Bible that the nation of Israel were God's chosen people, and they were called to be his ambassadors. They were called to have the wonderful privilege of knowing him, of having a personal relationship with God, and they were chosen to represent him in the world. Remember, they were given the oracles of God, the word of God, the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. They were rich in all the blessings of God. They are the fig tree planted in his vineyard. Notice Isaiah 60 there in your notes, verse 21. This is God's plan for the Jews. "Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." This is a verse for the future. And yet it describes the nation of Israel as the branch of my planting. And God planted them. Amen. God established them. And time again, perhaps you're reading through the major prophets at this time, Jeremiah, going forward in your Bible reading plan, don't we read of the fact how much God provided for them? God gave everything to them that they needed. He protected them. He provided for them. He planted them. He carried them on eagle's wings, the Bible says. And God continues to ask them the question as a nation, is there anything more that I could have done for you? Obviously, the answer is no. Is there anyone that loved you more? And obviously, the answer is no. But when he came, I believe this describes the coming of Christ to the earth. When he came, what did he find as a nation? He didn't find the fruit that was expected. And what I want us to take away from this first point is that notice the Lord expects fruit. The Lord expects fruit from what he has planted. When the Lord came, representing the one who planted this fig tree in the vineyard, when he came, he expected fruit. Came to the tree and he asked the question, where's the fruit? There should have been fruit because he gave the tree everything it needed. All the nutrition, all the help, all the blessing, all the watering, everything that was needed was given. But yet there was none. There was none. And as Christians, we need to understand that though the church has not replaced Israel today, who is it that represents God? We do. We are his ambassadors. We are a chosen generation. Amen. And so we need to understand likewise, God expects fruit. He expects fruit. But let me encourage you, he does not expect anything beyond what he has first done for us. Amen? God expects nothing from anyone except what he has first done for them. You see, the Bible tells us if we are saved, we are planted in Christ. Baptism is a picture of what God has done for us in Christ at our salvation. When we go under the water, it pictures that we are dead to sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross and we received him as Savior, my friends, our sins were paid for and were cancelled out, and we are no longer alive unto sin. We are dead to sin. We are buried with Christ. All the blessings of his death and victory on the cross are given to us. Then when he rose again from the dead, which baptism pictures the fact that we are alive unto God. We are living eternally in Jesus Christ. And we are planted firmly in our precious Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We are his planting. We are his people. And God doesn't expect anything more from us than what he has first given to us. You see, the Lord has blessed us tremendously. He has blessed us beyond measure. We have eternal life. Amen? The Bible says we may as well be walking in heaven right now. That's how sure our salvation is. It's not a matter of if, but when for the Christian. Amen? And it may be tonight. Maybe that the Lord comes back tonight. So you see, the Lord has every right to expect fruit from his people, from us. Notice John chapter 15 and verse 16. I think I've put that in your notes. Let's read it together out loud on two, shall we? One, two. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. I remember when I was saved, I asked the question to James, who was discipling me. I said, when we were saved, why didn't the Lord take us straight up to be with him? Our sins are dealt with. Nothing separates us from God. Why are we still here? Well, the Bible tells us why. This is what the Lord said to his disciples. I have ordained you This is your mission, that you bring forth fruit. I've got a job for you to do. Amen. You are planted. You are mine. I've given you everything you need. Now it's time to get busy. Planted. Fruit. God expects us to move forward in our Christian lives. And the question is that we need to ask ourselves, are we being fruitful for the Lord? If the Lord came, and remember, he doesn't need to come to see. He can just look and he knows already. If the Master looks at our lives and comes to seek fruit, is there any? Is there any fruit? Now, if we are saved, there ought to be some fruit. But the reality is as Christians, we can become affected by the world, affected by our sin, affected by our continuing down the wrong path, and we can lose our desire to serve the Lord, to live for the Lord, our passion to read the Word of God, and we can grow cold, can't we? And it can happen in a day. And when one day adds up to the next, before you know it, we're in trouble. The reality is, we need to continue to have soft hearts before the Lord. What would he find in my life today? Am I growing? We need to continue to grow as Christians, don't we? Is our leaf withering? Do you remember our year of revival, our theme of revival? Do you remember we looked at the fact that the hardened ground can represent our hearts, just dry and barren and lifeless, and it looks like there's no life there. There is life, but it's so hidden because of the hardness of our heart. And yet if we allow God to do his work in our lives, he can bring us back to the fullness of joy and blessing and vibrancy in the Christian life. That's what the Lord expects as a minimum. You see? He expects fruit. Am I barren? Do I need revival? Or am I growing in the Lord slowly but surely? Am I spending time with him in his word? Am I seeking the Lord's face each day? Am I seeking to be a witness? You know what the fruit of a Christian is, as some people have said? Another Christian. The fruit of a Christian ought to be another Christian. That's what he said to his disciples. I want you to bring forth fruit. Now, the Lord isn't interested in numbers. He's interested in souls. Amen? We need to keep the right perspective, one soul at a time. But are we being a witness? If there's no fruit, then we need to search our hearts. We need to ask the hard questions. You see, the Jews had a calling from God. They had their time. They will have it again. But this is our time, isn't it? This is our opportunity to bring forth fruit. Notice next in your notes, the purging of God. The purging of God. That's your next blank. If you miss a blank, they're on the back page at the bottom. The purging of God. Notice verse number 8. So when he came and he didn't find fruit, what happened in verse 8? And he answering said unto him, verse 7, then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? That word cumbereth means that the tree is taking up space. The owner of the vineyard said, hey, this fig tree is useless. It's just taking up space. It's just a waste of space. Why leave it here? Why not just cut it down to the ground and use that space for something that will bring forth fruit, that will be productive? Notice verse number 8. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it about and dung it. I can't tell you who this dresser is and who this owner is. I think they're one and the same. Here we see the justice of God. God expects fruit, but also the mercy of God at the same time. Here we see that God is merciful. He says, no, let it alone. What is God teaching in this verse, in verse 8? The tree is not reproducing. It deserves to be plucked out. But notice the mercy of God. God says, let it alone. Give me a bit more time. I'm going to go to work on this tree. I am going to get to work and I am going to do a work on this tree. My friend, this verse describes his tender heart, his long-suffering, His compassion to us. Let's be honest, where would we be without the mercies of God? Not only for salvation, but for our everyday lives, the mercies of God. Because to be honest, at best, oftentimes we're just a waste of space, aren't we? Just taking up space. We're not bearing fruit, and yet the Lord is merciful. When we are fruitless, when we are dry, when we are barren, what is His desire? To revive us. That's when He gets to work. Now, for the nation of Israel, God is at work still. Their problem was the lack of repentance in verses 1 to 5. We can't look at these verses for the sake of time, but notice the Israelites said, look at those Galileans, they're wicked, more wicked than us. They deserve your judgment. And what did the Lord say in verse 5? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. They didn't want to repent. And the Lord is doing a work in the nation. He's brought them back to the land. And isn't it true, what we're learning in the book of the Revelation, one day they will repent. One day they will be converted as a nation, the fig tree. But what can we learn as Christians? Well, when we are fruitless, God in His mercy will get to work on our lives. He will, as this farming illustration gives us, He will disturb the ground beneath us. Amen? He'll get digging. Okay? And I speak from experience. He'll get digging and He'll allow our lives to be a little bit disturbed, to get our attention, to make us realize that, hey, we're not being as fruitful as we should be. And then the Lord will get our attention. He'll dig into our hearts, won't He? It's scary what the Lord digs up that's in our hearts and we realize, well, this is how I really am. You know, this is, I think I'm pretty good. And then when I read the Word of God, I realize, whoa, this is where I really am. This is the reality of my heart. I need the Lord to continue to help me to grow. And He breaks our hearts. His desire is to break up that fallow ground. That's the Lord's work. We need to allow Him to do that. But that's His desire. He wants to break up that ground. He wants to pour refreshing rain and refreshing water of life into it to revive us. But realize that if we are fruitless, if you're here this evening and you say, Pastor, to be honest, in my heart of hearts, I really believe that I'm not doing anything for the glory of God. You know, and really there's no fruit that I can say is really there. There used to be, and let me assure you, God is at work in your life. Somehow, some way, He's seeking to get your attention. He's seeking to work on an area of your life and mine, and we need to allow Him to do that, don't we? We need to let Him dig. And what He digs up, we need to say, yes, Lord, that's true. We need to be not like the nation of Israel that says, I don't need to repent. I'm saved. I'm a chosen generation. No, we need to repent and say, Lord, forgive me for this sin. Maybe it's a sin that's been there for a long time. Maybe it's a sin of faithlessness and just unbelief. It could be anything. The Lord knows, and you know, and I know in my heart, but we need to be honest with the Lord, amen? You know, the preaching of the Word of God is a wonderful thing. I thank God when I was not a pastor. The Lord preaches to me first, and then I preach what He gives me. He still convicts me. But when I wasn't a pastor, I thank the Lord for many a Sunday when I was severely disturbed by the preaching. Uncomfortable. Sweating. Air conditioners were on. But I was sweating. Panicking. Thinking, oh, this is me, Lord. Either pastor's got a video camera in my house, or Lord, You see everything. Amen? The Lord wants us to be disturbed. But the question is, are we responding to the Word of God? Are we saying, yes, Lord? Are we soft? Are we willing to let Him do His work? Because remember, this is His mercy. Amen? The fact He hasn't let us go and hasn't dealt with us as we deserve, that's the mercy of God. He loves us. He wants to use us. He doesn't want to end our lives. He wants us to be fruitful for His glory. But will we let Him? He wants to purge us. Now, here's some news, in case you're thinking, well, if God's at work, I must be doing something wrong. That's not true. If we bring forth fruit, the Bible says He will purge us as Christians so that we may what? bring forth more fruit. He will prune us. He will continue to work on us. So regardless of where we're at, God's at work. Amen. We need to let him do that work. Are you letting him do that work? Is your heart softened to what the Lord's getting your attention about? He's at work. Let me encourage you to respond to the Lord. The Lord's been knocking on the door of your heart about a certain area, a certain issue that needs to be dealt with. Let me encourage you to say, yes, Lord, before the third point happens. All right? The pruning of God, lastly. This is a sober parable, but we need to be reminded that God doesn't play games. Amen? He does not play games. Verse 9, and if it bear fruit, well, good, great. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Now, God is long-suffering, but the word long has a time limit. Amen? If he's not long-suffering forever, he gives us time to respond to his digging, his dunging, you know, the work he does to add nourishment and food, spiritual nourishment to our lives. But if we don't respond, then what? What happens when we sit under the preaching time and time and time again? We say, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to surrender that. Lord, no, that's my life. I'm holding on to it. It's mine. I just want to be here to keep up appearances. But, you know, it's mine. What happens when we don't surrender? What happens when we stay fruitless and there's no turning back to God? Well, then God will step in a greater way. In this parable, it says, after that, thou shalt cut it down. That's an interesting phrase. When you look it up, it means two things. One thing, it means to frustrate, to hinder. That's what the word cut down means. So we can understand that if we don't stay soft-hearted to the Lord, he will resist us. Remember 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible says, what does he do to the proud? He resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. So if we are proud, if we are rebellious, if we are self-willed, if we are sowing to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. That's what we will do. We will reap what we sow. And God will allow it and he will resist our lives. And that's not the path he wants us to go down. And it gets worse. When our lives begin to fall apart and we still don't repent, come back to the Lord, he can remove us. He can remove us. When we come together to worship the Lord during the Lord's table, and let's be honest, maybe that's the reason why many people don't turn up when we have the Lord's table. The fact of the matter is, the Bible tells us that in the day of the Corinthians, many were sick, many died and went to be with the Lord because they refused to honor the Lord in the way he deserved. They had sin in their lives that were unconfessed and they were not willing to repent. And the Apostle Paul rebuked them. And he said, some of you have died as a result. Now we cannot lose our salvation, but doesn't that remind us of how serious God is about the Christian life? Coming back to the beginning, and I'll end with this, God has left us here for a reason, to bear fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, we are dead space. We're a waste of space. In fact, we may be doing damage to the name of Christ. And the Lord won't allow that to happen. And that's a sober reminder, amen, for all of us to stay tender-hearted before the Lord. And say, Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm glad he's merciful. He's more merciful than you can imagine. Amen? He's working in all of our lives. But will we stay soft to the Lord? Now the nation of Israel will be revived. But the lesson for us this evening, that we are accountable before God. We need to hunger and thirst after the Lord. That's what we need. We need the Lord. We need to hunger after him. We need more of the Lord. Amen? We need to continue to move forward in our Christian lives, taking greater steps of faith. We've lost that desire, okay? It's not over yet. Amen? We're still here. It's not over. you've lost that desire, God wants to revive it. He's at work in your life, but you let Him. Will you let Him do His work? Will you let Him break what needs to be broken? Remove what needs to be taken away? Remember, God never takes anything away without after providing something much greater. Never takes away anything that leaves us saying, oh, I've missed out. No, He always provides something much greater. Amen? Takes away the world, but provides Christ. Who wants the world anymore? Amen? With the Lord. But whatever you do, don't stay as you are, Christian. Keep growing. Amen? Let's keep growing together. Let's keep pressing forward. The Lord expects fruit. Amen? Let's continue to expect Him to work in our lives.